أزواجه وذرياته. امام بخاري رحمة الله عليه عن امام مسلم رحمة الله عليه have both narrated a hadith which is known as the hadith of Jibreel عليه الصلاة والسلام. And the muhaddithin have termed this hadith as Ummu Sunnah, which means that it is the mother of all the ahadith. Just as Suratul Fatiha in the glorious Quran is known as Ummul Quran, the mother of the Quran. So the status Surah Fatiha enjoys in the Quran, this hadith, Hadith Jibreel, enjoys this same status from amongst all the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are many lessons which the experts in the field of hadith have derived from this particular hadith. Sayyiduna Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that بينما نحن جلوس عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, we were sat with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, in his initial days after receiving prophethood, he would sit with his companions, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, and they would benefit from his company also. And likewise, if he would speak, then they would also benefit from his words. And this is how deen comes into a person's life. That when we adopt the company of the pious, and in these initial gatherings, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would sit in such a way that it would be impossible to know who is the lead of that particular gathering, who is the imam, who is the teacher. He would just sit amongst the companions, just as if 8, 9, 10 friends are sat together, then they just all sit together. So if a person was to walk into that particular room, he will not fall under any impression that this person enjoys a higher rank or status in comparison to this person. And this was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's humbleness. That despite enjoying a high rank, a high status, he never had this desire that I want to sit on a high platform, I want to sit on the chair, I want to be the one who stands out from everyone else. Now, when a stranger would walk into the gathering, he would not know that who is the Prophet of Allah and who are the companions. So he would have to question and he would have to ask that from amongst you, who is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So it was upon this that the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, they presented this request to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that if you grant us permission, then we will make a platform upon which you can sit on. so that when a stranger enters the gathering, it's easy for him to know who the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is, and he does not have to face or experience any inconvenience. So this happened later. The initial gatherings would be such that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would sit amongst the companions. And later on, due to the demand of the circumstances, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then would sit in such a way that you would know who the Prophet of Allah is. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that we were sat once with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This was during the latter portion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life. Now in these gatherings, you would have one of two types of gatherings. You would have those gatherings in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is imparting advice, he is imparting a talk, he is teaching the companions. So in these gatherings, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would be sat in the front, and thereafter the companions would sit in semicircles. So you would have one semicircle, then a second circle, then a third circle. In this way, they would make circles and sit before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in front of him. And you would also have the informal gatherings. So when there would be an informal gathering, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would talk with the companions. The companions would also have permission to talk. And if a stranger wanted to come in and ask a question, then he would also have this permission. So when an informal gathering would take place, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would again sit in the front, but this time the companions would not sit in front in circles. There would be one line sitting on the right side and one line sitting on the left side. So that if a stranger wants to enter and ask something, he can very easily walk through, sit in the front and ask the question. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that once we were sat with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which was one of these informal gatherings, اِذْطَلَعَ عَلَيْنَا رَجُلٌ, when a man emerged, a man suddenly came into the room. And there were two qualities, شَدِيدُ بَيَادِ الثِّيَابِ وَشَدِيدُ سَوَادِ الشَّعْرِ. His clothing were extremely white and his hair was striking black. Now one lesson which the muhaddithin derive from here is that we should try to adorn ourselves with white clothing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned that from all the colors, the one most beloved to me is white. This is why when we perform Umrah or Hajj, then it is again mustahab and preferable to wear the ihram, which is white in color. And when a person passes away, then again it is preferable that the cloth with which he is covered is white. So let it not be that these are the only two times that we don white clothing, that when we perform Hajj and when we leave this world. Even during our lifetime, we should try to wear white clothing as much as possible. A person will get more reward, he will get more barakah and more blessings in his life also. If he does it with this intention, that this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam liked and desired. So his clothing was extremely white. And his hair was striking black. very dark black hair. So there are two indications towards this. One indication is that he was very young. Because as a person ages, his hair no longer remains striking black. And the second indication was that he was not a traveler. He was a local. Because in those days, people would travel in the desert. So when a person travels in the desert, the sand flies and comes into the hair. And as a result, the hair looks a different, a brownish sort of color because of all the sand which has come into the, flew into the hair. So for a person's clothing to be extremely white and for his hair to be striking black, it would be necessary that he has just left his home and come into the gathering. He hasn't traveled much. This is why Umar radiallahu anhu further says that la yura alayhi atharu safar, that there was no sign of traveling upon this man. It seemed as though he was a local. But despite his hair being striking black, despite his clothing being extremely white and clean, despite there being no sign of travel upon him, وَلَا يَعْرِفُهُ مِنَّا أَحَدٌ, from all those who were in the gathering, there was not a single individual who knew who this person was. Whereas Madinatul Munawwara during that time was very small. So everybody knew who each other was. So this was very strange, that this person, we've never seen him before. Now when we've never seen him, he has to be from outside Medina. But if he has come from outside Medina, how can it be that there are no signs of travel on him? Anyway, Umar radiallahu anhu says that فَأَسْنَنَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ إِلَىٰ رُكْبَتَيْهِ, he came and sat in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such a way that his knees were directly in line with the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, how a person sits in salah, in the tashahud position. He sat in this position with respect. So another lesson which we learned, that when we acquire knowledge, it's important we sit with respect. وَوَضَعَ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَىٰ فَخِذَيْهِ, and he placed his hands upon his thighs. فَقَالَ, and thereafter he said, يَا مُحَمَّدْ أَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inform me with regards to Islam. This is the initial part of this hadith. In this initial part of this hadith, one lesson that we learn is that how, as I mentioned, in the initial stages, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would sit with his companions, he would sit in such a way that nobody would know who the Prophet of Allah is and who the companions are. So this quality of tawadu, this quality of humbleness, this is a quality very liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, it's a quality which each and every person needs to exert effort in trying to instill within themselves. Because the opposite of humbleness is pride. So you either have humbleness or you either have pride. If a person has pride, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. That person who has even an atom worth of pride, he will not enter paradise. So a person has even an atom worth of pride, he will not enter paradise. This is how detrimental the ill trait of pride is. So that person who will not have even an atom worth of pride, he will automatically have tawadu, humbleness. So this quality of humbleness has to be in a person. He has to exert effort. He has to exert effort that I am nothing in comparison to others. Whenever he begins to think about those qualities which he possesses. A wealthy person will think to himself that I am more wealthier than this person. A knowledgeable person will think I am more knowledgeable than him. A pious person will think that I am more pious than this person. Then at that time, it is necessary that we tell ourselves that I only know a certain percentage of this person's life. And as far as I am concerned, I know 100% regarding myself. So I know the evils that I carry out. I know the wrongs which are present in me. So although I may have seen him doing one thing wrong, it's possible that the remainder of his life has been all good. And I know, as far as I am concerned, I have done many wrongs. So like this, a person will be able to tell himself that no, I am not better than him, he is better than me. Malik bin Dinar, rahimahullahu ta'ala, who is a great saint, but despite being a great saint, once while sitting with his entire congregation, he said to them that I can take an oath in the name of Allah that it is my belief that I am the most wretched and the most worst from amongst all of you. You are all better than me. So somebody went and told Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayh, who himself was great. He was the teacher of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh, the student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh. And during his time, he's the only scholar in the entire history that during his time, there was nobody who would criticize him. Otherwise, you will find that during every time, in every era, whichever scholar is great, you will have two parties. You will have some people who will be in his favor and some people who will criticize him. But regarding Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi, there was nobody who would criticize him. So Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi, when he was informed that this is what Malik bin Dinar has said, Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi remarked that this is what has made Malik so great, this humbleness, that he doesn't think of him to be anything. So humbleness is very important, this quality of humbleness, that a person humbles himself. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says that if you are a senior or if you are older and you see somebody who is younger than you, then you should say to yourself that this child or this young person is better than me. Why? Because in my life I have definitely committed more sins than he has. I have been in the world for a longer period of time. And if you see someone who is older than you, then you should think to yourself that this person has been in the world longer than me, so he must have done more good deeds than I have, so he's better than me. If you have knowledge, then you should think to yourself that this person doesn't have knowledge and he is disobeying Allah. I have knowledge and I still disobey Allah, so he is better than me. And if you don't have knowledge and you see someone with knowledge, you should think to yourself that how fortunate is he? Allah Ta'ala has given him knowledge. Allah Ta'ala has not given me knowledge, so he is better than me. So when a person humbles himself, when a person has this in his mind that I am not better than others, others are better than me, then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that مَن تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. That person who humbles himself for Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala elevates his rank and his status. وَمَنْ تَكَبَّرَ وَضَعَهُ اللَّهُ. But that person who lives with pride and arrogance, then Allah Ta'ala will bring him down. So the one who wants success, the one who wants elevation, the way to gain this elevation that is that a person humbles himself. So these are two traits connected to the spiritual world. But because we do not try to understand these spiritual traits and these spiritual maladies, this is why it's very difficult for us to understand these sort of topics. But this is a very important topic. The world of spirituality, this is also something that we need to try and acquaint ourselves with. Once, there was an individual who had connection with a sheikh in this world of spirituality. So he invited his sheikh to his village with this intention that people from my village will be able to come and benefit from this very pious servant of Allah. And he was going door to door telling people that a very pious person has come into our locality. So go to my house, he is sitting there, and go and benefit from him. So one of the people, they were free, so they came, they knocked on the door. So this person asked, this sheikh, he asked him that you have come here, why have you come here? He said, oh, my friend told me that a very pious person has come, so that's why I have come to benefit from you. So the sheikh said that, I'm not a pious person, I'm just a normal person. Because this is what the pious actually feel with regards to themselves. A pious person will never think to himself that he is pious. If this thought enters a person's mind that I am great, I am an imam, I am a sheikh, I am pious, this already tells you that you are not pious. A pious person never thinks he is pious. He said, I'm not pious. This person thought to himself that, well, if you're not pious, then why am I wasting my time here? So he stood up and he began to walk out. In that time, his friend was returning and he said, where are you going? The gathering hasn't even begun yet. He said, no, I've just come out and he just told me he's not pious. So he tried to explain to him that this is what pious people say. They don't claim to be pious. They say that we are not pious. He said, even pious people lie nowadays. Look, this is the level that people reach, that they don't understand the deen. They don't understand these sort of things. So anyway, this is spirituality, which is also very important. We need to try and acquaint ourselves with these sort of spiritual themes and spiritual topics. Because without spirituality, it's not possible for a person to progress in the deen. A person just performs his sadah, he gives zakat, he performs hajj, he fasts in the month of Ramadan. This is ibadah, this is worship. But just ibadah by itself without the spirituality will not make a person progress in the court of Allah Ta'ala. This is why, very briefly, just I will indicate, maybe next week we'll continue with this hadith. Jibreel alayhi salam here first asks, what's Islam? Then he asks, what's Iman? But thereafter he asks a third question, what's Ihsan? So when he asked, what is Ihsan? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that Ihsan is that you worship Allah as if He is seeing you, and if you cannot see Him, then you should have this in mind that Allah Ta'ala is definitely watching me. So in here there is an indication that you believe in everything, you worship, but you are not complete until you bring this spirituality into this worship. But this will only come when we spend more time with those people who are acquainted with this. And over time, slowly, slowly, we will understand what this spirituality is, what tazkiyah is, what tasawwuf is. And when this, we will work hard on this, we will exert effort in this field, then we will see that there is a complete different mindset of ours in this world, and how we see this world also, how we see the akhirah, and how we feel when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us all the ability. We should start by first making dua to Allah that, oh Allah, you give us the realization, you make us understand, and thereafter you show us the way forward. Inshallah, if we will make dua to Allah, then Allah ta'ala will show us the way forward. And very soon, we will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assists us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Please stand up in your places and fill in all the rows.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
inshallah, tomorrow after Asr Salah, our weekly Dars of the Quran will take place. All brothers are requested to participate. And on your way out, you're requested to donate generously towards the running cost of the masjid. Jazakallah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah.
Innal hamdalillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق الله حيثما كنت وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المؤمنين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم ومن آذاهم فقد آذاني ومن آذاني فقد آذى الله ومن آذى الله فيوشك أن يأخذه اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك واجعل اللهم آمنة مطمئنة وسائر بلدان المسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين في فلسطين اللهم ألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار عباد الله رحمك الله. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
الله أكبر الله أكبر Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, hayya 'ala salah, hayya 'ala salah, hayya 'ala falah, hayya 'ala falah, qad qamat salah, qad qamat salah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah.
Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim, sirata al-lazina an'amta alayhim, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي يخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.